With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I am your host, Tukes, and today we are in Florida. We are at Monster Performance over here at Lee Bird's shop. He let us use a shop for this podcast, so huge shout out to him. So today we have BMW guys and also Subaru guys. We had Mikey on the podcast before at World Cup Finals. I think it was last year, right? Or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Two years ago, actually.
Time flies, man.
Time flies, dude. That's crazy. So 2 years ago when I first started, it was like the first few months in, I think, we did the podcast in a Supra. It was kind of interesting setup. We made it work, though. But now we have Jazz on the podcast as well. You were there. I actually wanted both of you to be on the podcast at the time.
Yep. But we couldn't fit.
I think you were working on cars.
He could have sat on my lap.
I think you were working on cars. I don't know how. I don't know what the situation was. But you were super busy. And then I think you had stayed up overnight working on one of the Supras.
That's every single event.
Yeah. So happy to have both of you guys here. As you guys know, I did move to Florida. So Jazz is now my neighbor. So Mikey flies in every now and then. You guys tune cars and so on. So it's easier for us to kind of connect now. So last time we had the podcast, we didn't speak about a lot of Subaru stuff. We did speak about how you got into it, but we didn't speak about the platforms, the motors, power, how you put them together, tune them, and so on. I'm not a Subaru guy. People have asked to have Subaru people on, and I figured why not have STI Mikey on, right, for this?
Okay.
So you also have a record with the Supra, you're still holding, right?
Tied for quickest ET.
Yep.
Like to the thousandth. There's a few Subaru records as well, but they're old. They've been held for years. Mostly stock turbo stuff.
Stock turbo stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. So with the Subaru platform, right? There is an FA, I believe.
Correct.
And there's also an EJ.
Yep.
Right? Correct. So the EJ came with the STI.
NWRX.
NWRX.
Okay.
From like the 80s.
So what is the setup that you would go for if you want to make like 500 horsepower for starters?
Oh, 500 is easy on any of them.
Okay.
500 is easy on the EJ20, 25, FA20, even FA24. I mean, as soon as tuning capabilities came out for the 24, we were making 675?
Yeah, it was in my high 600s.
Yeah, we're going mid-10s in the quarter mile, which it's much harder to go fast in those cars than the BMW stuff.
So the biggest thing with Subarus is the reliability, right?
Correct.
So at what point do they become not reliable, I guess, when you're starting to make certain power?
5 years ago, it was like 600 horsepower was like it. Not five, maybe like 8 years ago. 600 horsepower was like it. Motors failed all the time. But you could actually put together a reliable 800-900 horsepower Subaru. And that could be argued. Some people say less. Some people say more. But I had a 900 wheel horsepower Subaru in 2017. And I beat it up. I literally
and
built it.
You drove it 1,000 miles. Yep.
I drove it 10,000 miles. This was before Firelock. There was no Firelock. There was no special head gaskets.
Okay.
We got 10,000 miles out of it, and it was all either track, dyno, or my biggest joy was taking people for rides in a full STI with 900 wheel horsepower. So every single day, different family member, different friend, get in the car. I have to show you a 234 on this back road really quick. That was honestly probably the funnest car I've ever owned out of all of them.
Really?
I felt in control. I didn't feel scared of it. You know, it's like you go out in a BMW now, like Jimmy's car, and Jazz on the street with 1,400 wheel, and it's just like, oh, maybe I hit a tree, maybe I don't. You know?
Literally.
But yeah, that was so much fun.
But Subaru torque steer is amazing too on a high horsepower car.
Yeah.
It's the best feeling sensation you'll ever experience in your life.
Well, what's considered a high horsepower for a Subaru?
High horsepower, I'd say, starts at like 750.
Yeah, I was going to say 700.
Okay. Yeah, because today you could build a reliable Subaru for, you know, 600-800 horsepower, and the cars will actually last now.
Okay, so you said they had issues years ago. What were some of those issues? Were they like
mostly head gasket issues and bearing issues? The bearing issues from the factory. Bearing issues on aftermarket motors were basically assembly errors.
Okay.
And the known ring light issues as well.
Yeah. They started building a really good 2-liter in 2015. Mm-hmm. And they started building a really good 2.5 liter in mid 2018. And I mean, I have cars that have made, I have one car actually in Utah that made like 898 to the tire in a bone stock car.
Long block.
Yeah.
OEM from the dealership.
898. And I know, Bader from out West, I think he's made over 1,000 in a couple, stock long block cars.
So what kind of studs are you using to keep the head down? Is it a head gasket issue, or is it like using different studs?
It's the pattern of the head. If you look at the Subaru head, it's not like a typical where you have a four bolts per cylinder.
Okay.
These you don't. So they actually share, the two center bolts actually share both cylinders. So that's the weak point in it.
So it's distributing the load across different parts.
So that's the issue that there is.
So what do you, like half inch studs? Is that what you guys?
That's the main thing. Half inch or 14 millimeter head studs.
And then you said firing or fire lock. Is that what you would call it?
Yeah, correct.
So do you guys use like anything for the head portion, or it's just like only on the block side? The
bottom? Both.
Both. It's almost like a receiver, retainer.
Correct. Kinda. So it has teeth. So you do a receiver groove in the block around the cylinders. Just the same thing like we do on the Subarus, on the Supras and B58s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the ring has teeth on the top portion of it that bite into the head. So the teeth don't allow it to move, and it has the receiver groove in the block. So the ring cannot physically move left or right or any position. So the only way it can move is up.
So
that was the game changer right there. That's when they started becoming reliable. If you had a good quality builder.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about even like mainstream builders that are popular. Like we have builders that aren't even heard of in the community mm-hmm. that are phenomenal. And they build motors one by one. They take a lot of appreciation and attention to detail.
Yeah.
Right. There's a couple guys down in Miami that I would trust. If I was ever to build another high horsepower Subaru again, mm-hmm. I would probably go that way.
I feel like people don't really do the firing thing. Like, shouldn't that just be like off rip, something you should do just to make sure you have that security?
You should, but the cost of it.
So, but how much more would it cost to do that?
It's machine work. Every machine shop's going to be a little bit different, but it's...
Figure a few grand, tops.
Okay. So,
but when you're spending 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, right. And you're already over budget, mm-hmm. that it's kind of a turnoff, but that should be one of the first things that are addressed.
The thing with the Subarus that I've always heard was that they're really expensive to build. Is it the build process, or is it because they always break down?
It's the money per horsepower you get.
Okay, elaborate a little bit.
So it's going to be a lot of money. You're going to spend $20,000 on a Subaru build to make 500, 600 horsepower reliably. But then this, you're going to spend a fraction of it and make the same amount of power and outlive any Subaru.
Where is the money being put at, though? Like
motor, fuel system.
So the motor and fuel system machine side of things, or just the parts overall? Like where exactly?
It's both now. I mean, things have gotten ridiculously expensive. You know, you used to be able to build a Subaru. Like, for instance, my car was reliable at 900.
Okay.
It cost me for everything from a bone stock car from the dealer to that, it cost $30,000. That was back in 2017, I think. It would probably be double that. Double or more
now,
right now,
to build 60,000
to build that same thing. So that's almost a turnoff, because you really have to like the car, because most people buying a $35,000 car aren't going to put 60,000 into it unless they're really into the scene and they have the means to do so. So it's hard to grasp. Like with the BMW stuff, you buy a $50,000 to $100,000 car and you mm-hmm. put 30 or 40 into it. That's a little bit more feasible.
Yeah.
And it's reliable. You know, you make with those kind of numbers, you make 900, 1,000, and you could drive it every single day on the street reliably.
Right. So what would be like, let's say if I wanted to buy a Subaru, right? What year would you guys recommend to put together to make some power?
STI or WRX?
So yeah, that's the difference too.
It depends what the goals are.
A drag racing car.
A drag racing STI.
You don't see too many.
It used to be super common.
There used to be national events every year.
Okay. That's how I grew up. I grew up going to the track almost every single weekend when the 04 STI was brand new.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were watching companies like Big Valley, right? Big Valley from Puerto Rico. They went nines back in like 2005. Which back then, that would be like us running a 6 in a Supra right now. It's just
and they would do
impossible.
Like the most simplest modifications ever. Rolly was one of them that would do it for like an AutoZone intake on the car. And he was going 12s in the car. Yeah. And that's unheard of in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, Rolly was probably one of the people, if not the person, that made me interested in Subaru drag racing. Him and Junior Berrios, they both made me super interested because these guys, when they went out, they were so much faster than anyone else with the same car and the same mods. And I'm just like, that's awesome. Like, they stand out. Like, I kind of want to be like that. Like, I want to get a car like them and see if I could even come close to how fast they could make it. That kind of that's what started me with drag racing, because I just saw a few individuals that had what the whole community had, but they were just so much better. Like, it was either the way they put the cars together or driving skill. I mean, they both have both skills. They can
Rolly's a driver, he drives other cars too.
Yeah. And he used to build cars too. Now he doesn't build the cars anymore. Now he just drives the cars mainly.
Does he hold any records for the Subaru platform? Or
World's first 7 second Subaru.
Yep,
and that was actually first before any Evo. That was in the competition. That was like 2017 also.
Yep,
when it was Evos didn't go sevens yet.
The Subaru beat the Evo to the sevens.
Yes, it was a battle. Year after every event, they would go months at it, every month trying to see who would be the first into the sevens, and they actually did it at World Cup Finals.
Oh, the sevens.
Yes.
When he got into it. Was it like high sevens or?
High sevens, yeah, obviously. It was like 790 something.
That's still fast, bro.
And they were able to repeat it again.
So what was was it a WRX or STI?
STI.
04 STI.
So I noticed when you asked what the goals were, you said WRX or STI. So what would be like the biggest difference?
For easier power, for dollar, for horsepower, a 15 plus WRX will make more power for less money.
On a basic level, say if you wanted 450 horsepower,
okay,
it's so easy to make it with a 15 to 21 WRX, 2015 to 2021. They make power so easily, and it gets super complicated after that. But if you were to buy a WRX for say 20,000 or STI for 30,000, STI, you would need to put another 20 in to make a reliable 450, 500, where the WRX, it's just like throw a turbo kit on, add a meth kit, keep the torque low, and go. I mean, when the WRX in 2015, when the tuning first came out, we were the first car in the 10s. I flew Rolly out to drive the car.
Oh, wow.
And everyone was like stuck at like 11.8 or 11.9, the five of us that were actually drag racing the car. And Rolly came out with one of my customers' cars. He came to drive it. And we went 10.6 at 134, stock trans, stock motor, unopened. It had a clutch, a turbo kit, and a meth kit on it. That's literally it.
Wow.
And back then, that was unheard of. It took years for people to catch up.
Most production cars weren't even running that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So why are you putting more money into the STI, though? What's the difference?
It's not port it's not direct injection. That's the one thing.
Okay.
So the WRX is direct injection, so you have more room for the fuel system, so you're able to run full E85 on a stock fuel system.
And the WRX has much higher compression. You go from like 8.3 to 1, 8.2 to 1, 8.5 to 1, something like that in STI, all the way to a 10.6 to 1. So the WRX on a stock turbo with a few bolt-ons and ethanol already makes, you're touching 400. Some cars make over 400. So it would take an STI, a full fuel system, turbo kit.
Right.
At that point, you probably don't need axles yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet. But it would take a lot more money in the STI to make a reliable 450.
And the other thing is that the FA also is an equal length manifold, and it's a bottom mount turbo. So the exhaust pulse just has to go like 6 inches before it hits the turbo, rather than an EJ has to go like 3 feet before it hits the turbo. So there's more lag in it, rather than the FA is just instant. The moment you hit the gas, it's already in boost instantly.
Right.
Which is also a problem because we were snapping rods, or not we. People were snapping rods when these cars came out because they would build boost super easy, just cruising on the highway, and people would accidentally build too much boost under load and just snap a rod because they're asymmetrical rods. They're not a symmetrical rod like a typical engine is.
They have like an offset to them.
Correct.
Okay.
So the big end is offset on the rod, so they don't distribute the load as equally as a symmetrical rod.
Super technical.
It's like a diesel motor, the FA, so they're asymmetrical. So they build torque easier, more power, but more prone to snap.
Yeah, you have to be careful because those engines can make a lot of power, but if you make too much power too quickly, it's game over. They throw rods like crazy. So
this was around a time when 400-500 was like fast, right?
We live in a time now where
they still are fast, man. You drive a Subaru today, 400-500, even a street car that makes 500 horsepower is very fast.
We tuned a 500 horsepower yesterday, and I giggle.
We were giggling like little kids, bro. It's just a crazy sensation feeling nobody that's never owned or driven a Subaru does not get. A 500 horsepower STI Subaru is so much fun.
It is. I love it.
but we live in a time now where like 1,000 horsepower is like
the internet made it that
way. The internet, 100%.
Correct.
Right. So, like you said, if you have like, you have to love the car to actually put money into it.
Correct. Yeah.
But if you want to keep up with the other people, like you want to be, you know, 1,000, 1,400, what are you doing to a Subaru to make it at that level?
Billet block.
Yeah. So
they have billet blocks.
I've only made over, I have a probably a couple dozen cars that have made over 900, but I only have one car that made 1,000. And we were still stuck at 9.0. It was so depressing because the car had a trap speed to go like a solid 870, 880. Mm-hmm. And we just could never. It was always a drive shaft broke. Mm. It was always something, right? And that was the last.
The trans locking out of gear.
Yep. That was the last Subaru drag car that I was dedicated to. It was owned by a friend of ours. Yeah,
Mike.
Yep. And man, it's just so much money spent to not hit the goal. And I mean, it was years in the making.
Yeah.
It was different trans, different motor, different setup, like complete overhaul of the entire chassis. Like it was just over and over and over. And the car finally made 1,000 horsepower and was ready to rock. And then that was his last hurrah. It went got stuck at 9.0 still. And damn. He's just like, time for something else. And I'm just like, yeah, buddy, time for something else. It's been years.
And now he's got a BMW.
So you said billet.
Billet blocks, yep.
So that would be the best way to make 1,000. Like, I don't want to say reliably, but that'd be your best option.
Yeah.
Correct. Less distortion in the block.
What are you using for transmissions with
STI with trans?
Stock trans.
Stock trans can hold a STI, ton of power.
An STI is much more expensive than a WRX because you have the driveline and you have the brakes.
That transmission is good for that much power?
Yeah. Fun fact, the STI trans is actually designed by Mack diesel trucks.
What? So you don't have to do anything to it?
Clutch. No.
Just a clutch.
I was rowing gears for, like I said, in my car for 10,000 miles, beating the shit out of the car.
I got videos of me dumping the clutch, doing donuts, yep, towing my cars all across the country, wow, towing like 800 pounds of fuel across the state with my STI, making 900 horsepower, just cruising perfectly fine, no issues.
The powertrain distribution, like what is it? Like
you can actually control it.
Yep.
The okay. STI, you can control how much power to go to the rear
DCCD.
Wheels. Driver controlled center differential. Yep.
It comes with that?
Mm-hmm. From the factory.
From the factory.
Damn.
Just by a knob in the center console.
Was it 70-30 now?
70-30. So you could basically almost do a burnout. There's people actually in NASIOC days doing standing burnouts in them. They put it all the way to the power to the rear, which is 60. At the time, it was 60-40. And they're just staying on the brakes and just do rear-wheel drive burnouts in them. And it would kill the center diff. But
you could do that in 04.
Yeah.
04 seemed to take it, no problem. Yep. But after that,
you do standing burnouts in them.
And there was no issues with that. It's like a module.
Yeah, from the factory.
That controls it, and there's no issues with that. You can make all the power.
It's like a little analog control back
then.
It's
just a little knob.
Right from the factory.
And it just shows up on your display. It has a little arrow how much power goes to the front and rear.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, I think you just one little button activate, and then just like a roll dial up or down where you wanted the power to be put.
Or you could leave it in auto so the car had a yaw system. That's what it's called, the YAW. Mm-hmm. So it knew how much power to send to the wheels. It had to send like the ABS rings. So it knew if one wheel was spinning, how much power to send to what wheel.
Also depends on what you're trying to do too, right? Like if you're all racing, like you would change the splits or no?
I always left it in auto.
You left it in auto.
Auto was always the best. A lot of guys would argue because you could also go to like a lock position.
Okay.
Where you really shouldn't
all
be turning
forward.
The wheel. Yeah, you're just locked. The same power goes to all four the entire time.
Right.
No matter what happens.
But it's not good to turn the wheel though.
Not at all.
Only for straight line. Correct.
Yeah.
That's like if you're stuck in a mud, snow situation.
Yeah.
And then what about ECU? What are you guys doing for
stock
that?
Stock ECU.
Stock.
Still to this day, yeah. And a lot of guys are going standalone
Motec or
now.
Multec.
Yeah, but if I ever built another one, it would just be on a Cobb access port probably.
Interesting. As far as oil issues, right? That seems to be a big issue with the Subarus because I guess of how the motor is. So is that an issue that you guys faced?
It's actually not how the motor is. It was the pickup tube, which was the issue.
Okay.
Where it picks up issue, it was actually soldered. It was in a weld. So the solder would break. That was the issue. But there's companies like Killer Bee, which was the first one, that made a fully welded pickup tube, which actually sat lower in the sump, so it would pick up more oil.
But there's also two issues. What he's talking about is the EJ issue with the FA's... right from the factory, silicone was getting built up in the BRZs and the WRXs.
Right, the new ones.
And it would literally clog the oil pickup tube with RTV right from the factory, and you'd spin a bearing. There was a ton of cases like that. So when the 22 WRX first came out, the biggest thing was come in for a service immediately to a performance shop, and and we'll make sure that
basically pull the oil pan out of the car, inspect the pickup tube, and clean any because it was all robotic.
Yeah.
So the machines would actually put in excess of the silicone.
Yeah.
And being in the oil, it would break down, so it'd be pieces of the silicone that would fall off and be picked up in the pickup tube and clog the pickup tube.
But that's not what you guys were working with back then, right?
No, the FAQ started in 2015.
So those are the ones that are known to have issues, mostly because of that, or just because of...
FA had,
that was the only oiling issue that they really had.
Yeah, they break rods if you don't have proper torque control. Okay. But the engine is honestly strong. Like, I've made over 600 horsepower on a stock motor with that FA 2-liter, FA 20.
What comes in the FRS?
Same thing.
Same thing.
FA 20.
So,
but non-turbo.
It's non-turbo. Isn't it called F? It's not the FB, right?
No, FA. FB was the different Imprezas.
Okay, yeah, I'm
and the Foresters
the
that
NA
were non-turbo
stuff.
Came with FBs. Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that people say like are not even worth building because they always break.
Yeah, it's mainly rocker issues because they have little rocker shims on them, so they would literally just fly off at high RPMs.
A lot of people swap those guys. The chassis that everyone uses to swap out. Like, they put other motors in them. So I'm like, well, why wouldn't they use the one that comes with? I'm assuming it's not really one that you should invest your time and money into, no?
I think it's because people didn't want to invest the money because the car is like a circuit car or like an autocross car. It's really good. It's like if you didn't want to drive a Miata, but you wanted the same type of feel in a new car, you would get the BRZ or the FRS. I enjoy driving them. I'd never own one, but like playing with my friends' cars or customers' cars, I love whipping them around turns. But yeah, I guess it's another case where now you're buying the car for 10 or 15 or 20,000 bucks. How much money do you want to invest in an expensive FA motor?
Right.
You know, you could swap it with something that's reliable.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys answer what chassis would be the best to go with?
The lighter one would be the earlier years. 04, that was the difference. 04 actually came with a 5x100 lug pattern, and so it's a smaller hub, so it doesn't, you don't have many options for wheels, first of all, and the wheel bearing's smaller also on the 5x100. So in 05 is when they started the 5x112, which is what most typical Japanese cars have, and they have a stronger wheel bearing too.
If cost isn't super associated with that question, I would pick a 19 to 21 STI.
19 to 21.
It's the nicest STI.
It's the last STI.
Yeah.
Why would you pick that one?
Amenities. It's honestly a nice car. So if you weren't looking to gut it and go full drag, if you were dragging a full car, like I did my 2016 STI.
Okay.
All right. I would go that way because it's a nicer car. If you were going full drag, I would do an 07 STI.
07 is the first year that actually had the longer gear ratio also. Yep. 04 to 06, had the very short gear ratio. So you're like, the moment you leave a stoplight, you're already immediately into second gear. It's a very short gear ratio. 07 had the longer gear ratios. 07 up.
As far as the diff, right? Do you guys play around with the ratios there? You guys leave it the way it is.
No, bone stock driveline.
Yep.
And
the stock driveline is very strong.
Drive shaft and axles for over, if you're launching cars, you know, over 500 horsepower, you're going to want axles in a...
That's crazy. I never knew that you didn't really have to do much.
They're very, very stout. That's why they always say you're not very familiar, but early in the NASIOC days, that was the forums back in the day, that I always say like the best Subaru would be like Subaru with an Evo motor with a Subaru driveline.
Yeah. Has anybody done it yet?
Not that I know of. People have done the K-Series.
No, somebody had to.
People have done K-Series with STI driveline. But
no 4G.
Not that I know. No 4G. Maybe, but not that I know of.
Yeah. I thought somebody was attempting it, but I can't remember. This was years ago.
So who has the record right now? What chassis has the record? Or like for the fastest?
04 STI.
04.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's quickest and fastest?
Yes, that's that was Rolly.
Okay.
That was Rolly. In White Bullet. Did he ever go faster than 7.9?
No, it was just 7.9.
Oh, 7.9 and I'm sorry. That's not that's the quickest but not the fastest.
Oh yeah, you're right. From the Texas fastest, Cosmic.
Yeah, Cosmic.
They went 190.
Damn,
180,
186.
186
was it?
Oh,
I was 190. Crazy. Yeah. At 801 or 802 something like that.
And how much power is that car?
It made 14 and changed like a month ago.
1,400 horsepower.
Yep.
It's nice to see a company that's still kind of going at it. They took a break. Like, I think every big Subaru company took a break.
They took a break for like a couple years.
But it was refreshing to see that because The cars are awesome. You just have to be a certain type of individual to want to spend the time and money to keep going with them.
It's called Gaparu. If anybody's interested in looking, it's Gaparu.
Gaparu?
Gaparu.
So Cosmic is a shop.
Yes. Yep.
And Gaparu is what?
The car. That's what the car is known as, Gaparu.
Okay.
So if anybody's interested in looking, Gaparu.
So where do you guys think the future is for Subarus? Like, do you think it's something that people should, like, is it more of like a daily kind of car if you want to make, you know?
I feel like it's dying slowly, man. It's unfortunate because they're such good cars.
Yeah.
But I feel like kids nowadays are very cheap. They buy the car, the new cars, and they just lower them, put wheels, stance them, and put an exhaust and burbles, and that's it. Nobody's actually doing the performance aspect of it, of wanting to do builds.
This is a touchy subject for me.
We kind of spoke about it.
I always get hyped up about it because, so with me, historically, platform releases, mm-hmm. I get the car, I do the R&D, I partner up with the appropriate parties to make a car go fast, right? That's just what I've always done. And every car I do it with has been a success.
Yeah.
Ever since I started from the very, very beginning back when I started tuning in 2009.
Yeah.
So now the 22 comes out, which is the FA24.
Mm-hmm.
Cobb releases the access port. The cars make so much freaking power for a stock four cylinder. Like, you literally bring me a car with no mods, and you put it on ethanol, and we'll make upper 300s. Mid to upper 300s.
That's more than Supra.
And it's a mid 11 second car if you could drive it.
It's a four cylinder, right?
Yeah, four cylinder. So they are so impressive, right? And historically over the years, Subarus have had issues being reliable. Mm-hmm. So now they finally get it right, but the market, it's too late. The market's shifting. So now it's like off the rip, built the car. Well, stock motor, but I did the full,
ETS
turbo kit and a whole meth system, mm-hmm. Port meth. So... And we went mid-10s, literally like that. Like, stock turbo was like 11.0, short-lived.
In a matter of a couple months.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, this is awesome. Let's freaking go. And I'm doing maybe like 5 cars a month, which is nothing. And I'm just like, where are the cars? So then I start, I'm not a forums guy anymore.
When it was like 5 cars a day.
Yeah. So I'm not a forums guy anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just too much. I mean, I'm always backed up with work. So mm-hmm. I can't live on forums. So I visit the forums and I noticed that my prices were 3 times or more what the next guy was charging for the cars. And I'm just like, okay.
And it's the same price that we've always been charging.
I'm just like... Okay, so I just spent all this money, which I typically do on a new chassis or a new car. And why? Like, I'm just like, what the hell is going on? I'm just like, these kids are spending all their money on eBay cheap carbon fiber and just sitting in Dunkin' Donuts parking lot. When I grew up, we raced Subarus. We went up to the Turnpike in Berlin, Connecticut, and we raced Subarus. Now, for some reason, Subaru finally gets their car right and nobody's racing them. And if they're literally just buying $150, $200 OTS maps and nobody's racing. And I'm just like, man, because I put the BMWs down for actually a good minute, probably a good 3 or 4 months where I'm just like, okay, I think it was this car, my last 340, put it to the side, put the Super to the side. Let's go, because this is a promising platform. Like, people are finally going to be able to build a reliable, fast Subaru. And the base model starts at $27,000. That's value.
Yeah, yeah.
That's value. So I was super excited for the platform, and I just put the car back to stock after a few years, just last week Jazz did.
Yep.
So I'm just like, this platform in terms of like performance and power and street racing and drag racing.
As a business standpoint, it wasn't worth it.
Rally, any kind of racing. We're not drag racers. We drag race because it's easy. It's tangible for a customer. Like, oh, body has this car, went this fast, I want that.
Yeah.
But if I tell you, hey, my car went 56 seconds around Lime Rock, everyone's just like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
So is it's that like fast or slow?
So we drag race for business, but we do it all. Even autocross, rally. I love it all. It's not applying to this car. This car.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Visit a store today.
I should be doing all of it. But like I said, it's great value, but now people are buying the car. They're putting a few thousand dollars in cheap eBay carbon on it. They're sitting in a parking lot, and they just want to
rev the car, have flames and
yeah,
pops
flames
and
farts and pops and bangs. And it's like, guys, I'm getting old. Okay, maybe it's just me getting old, but it's just like, you have a great car. Go use it for what it's built for. Yeah. This is a great car for the value. So then I just I didn't drop it because I still literally I tuned three of them this week. I still love them. I am a Subaru guy. But it's just like in terms of developing an interest and going fast, it's right back to BMW because that's where everyone's going to go fast.
I feel like all the Subaru people that were big into the drag racing are now older, more mature. They want to...
Any racing.
Yeah.
Not just drag racing.
Yeah.
If you want to build a fast, fun car for any type of racing and you had the means to do so, you left a Subaru or you kept your Subaru and you got now a BMW. It just makes sense.
Yeah, most of our customers that were Subaru customers... Still the same owner, now has a BMW or a supercar.
Yep.
So you don't think that, I mean, the BMW is the same way, though? Because I feel like, I mean, at least when I got my Supra, I did the same thing. I just did an OTS. I wasn't looking to go crazy and build my car. But, I mean, 300 horsepower is pretty quick. I mean, to me.
It is very quick.
Out of an inline six, it's torquey, you know, it's responsive. But when you put an OTS on it, and you don't have to do much downpipe tune.
So yeah, it depends what you're looking for. If you always have that need for speed, then you always want more. But if you're just content with it, then okay, cool. I'll buy a $200 OTS.
Yeah, 100%. You get a downpipe and tune, but like, that's just, what more do you need after that? Because you make 500 horsepower, then.
It's never enough.
It's never enough. It's never enough, but like, it's like if you want to go crazy, you got to get a turbo kit at that point if you want to keep the, you know, the stock block and so on. But like, the next level to that is like crazy. But you can make a lot of power just with a downpipe and tune. So it's like, I feel like that's just what it is now. It's just so easy for people to make power.
It is very easy,
and nobody wants to take apart their motor and do anything crazy. Obviously, you have a whole crazy build here, but like
that's what you just said right now is crazy. Is very accurate. Of nobody wants to take apart their motor.
Right,
we see that so much day in day out. Oh, we want more. Turn it up more. Turn it up. We're like, bro, you're on a stock motor. Like, you're doing 60 to 130s every night. Oh, my last tune did this time. It's like your motor's tired. Who knows? Your rod's already starting to bend, and you don't notice.
Yeah.
Unless the rod exits the block is when you know that your rod is already bending. But right. My car went this faster this time. My other tuner went faster. Your motor's getting tired. It's a stock motor. It's not going to have a life expectancy.
That's the worst forever. Thing. Oh, but I saw this guy go that fast. There are so many different
variables.
It's like the 60 to 130 crowd in the S58 platform. Is
and I think they're the worst.
Listen,
I love S58. I'm the first to say it.
I love S58. Different than the last podcast.
Yeah,
I love
S58.
But it's like, guys, come on. You pay for a custom tune, right? And you're on the dyno, and then you're on the street, verified. I give you the thumbs up. You give me the thumbs up. You go home, you run a 60 to 130. The next day, you run another one, and it's 2/10 slower. And it's just like, yo, something's wrong. You got to help me out.
They're sending us screenshots of their draggy.
Yeah.
Oh, but look what I did last week, but now it's this. Now it's a little bit slower. It's like, bro,
it's variables. Going to constantly change.
Yeah. It's never always going to be faster on a stock motor till it lets go.
So there's no way. We've already tried, and other people in this industry that have good say have already tried. There's no way we're going to sway the market away from 60 to 130. 60 to 130 is here, and there's nothing. Me, you, Miller, there's nothing any of us could say to take that away. That's just the standard, so we have to accept it. But
I feel
at the
like
end
the
of
real
day,
standard would be 100 to 150,
correct?
Not a 60 to 130.
Correct. The 60 to 130,
it's a slow
doesn't
speed.
Tell you anything.
Any car could go start at 60 miles an hour because there's very little wind resistance, even at 130. But now 100 to 150, that's what really determines how much power your car actually makes.
What's the DA? What's your elevation? What's the water in the air?
That the factors are, it's always something.
It's like
how much fuel is in the car.
Exactly. How much fuel is in the car? I have guys that will text me at 3 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Yo, my full bolt on G80 just went 60 to 130. That's slow. Why? I'm like, first of all, I probably don't answer unless it's a really good customer. It's just like, I'll answer them on Monday. But if I do answer, I'll be like, tell me about it. Oh, well, my boy was in the passenger seat filming me do it. There's 200 extra pounds, bro. Your 6'2 just became a 5'9. So how much fuel was in the car? Oh, 3/4 of a tank. Drop it to an eighth. Now you're a 5'8".
Or if there's even a little bit of headwind. When you're at that speed, you don't know if there's headwind or not.
Yeah. It's really bad, bro. It's constant attention to detail every other day. Hey, I went this fast. I went this fast. I went this fast.
Draghi ruined the market, but also improved the market. But it ruined it for us in that aspect.
Draghi helps me when I know the conditions I'm e-tuning car. And like if I'm sitting at my desk at home and I'm e-tuning a car.
Yeah.
And we don't have a dyno. It's just like, okay, log a 60 to 130. Send me the log. Send me the Draghi. Okay, cool. Here's our baseline. Turn up the boost. Go out and do it again. Send me a log. Send me a 60 to 130.
Right.
You start seeing cylinder noise and you start to see the 60 to 130 slow down or go backwards. You know, we have to go back revision. We're done. So it's a tool just like a dyno. Dyno numbers don't mean shit. 60 to 130s don't mean shit. But they're tools for people like me to use. Unfortunately, the tools being used as a fake standard by some people, by 90% of people.
Big percentage.
And it's just a constant back and forth. Hey, help, something's wrong. I'm a tenth slower today. I can't tune 10,000 cars and retune them every single day. It's impossible.
Yeah.
We'll never get any work done. And obviously, you're not going to charge the customer for that.
Yeah, you can't.
Right.
So it's like, are we going to waste our day and not make any money? Or focus on the customers that have actually paid and are waiting?
Right. That's the balance that you have to, you know, deal with as a tuner.
Damn, so, I'm getting amped up over this shit. Yeah. 60 to 130, 22 WRXs.
Jesus.
So, you said 100 to 150 is a better market?
It would be the most accurate way to determine if how fast a car is.
Okay.
Because of the wind resistance, also the aerodynamics of a car.
Well, the wind resistance is going to be the only factor that's going to slow you down at that
point. And the aero of the car, too. Yep.
But so you don't really hear people talking about...
Because it's not popular. Nobody's going to be doing a pull-up starting at 100 miles an hour on the highway. It's more feasible to start at 60 miles an hour when you're at a speed limit.
True. You did say before, just now, that you feel differently about the S58 from the last podcast.
Yes.
I think you had mentioned... I honestly can't remember what you had said about the S58. I think you said...
No S58 will go fast.
No S58 will go fast. Actually,
there's some people who made some clips of you saying that, and then they post their, like, you know...
I made fun of myself when
we made
fast.
A clip of ourselves doing it.
So you ended up buying...
A G80
after the podcast. You were literally looking for them.
Yep, one month later, I bought the G80.
Yeah, so you got the G80. And you did some big things with it, right? So I don't think we ever spoke about
it. We never touched that market, and that market was out since 2020, the S58, and that was the year of 2023. So that market was out for 3 years. People that were just focusing on the S58 stuff, we never touched it. We get the car, and both of us, I'm sitting on the floor of the car trying to learn how to tune the car, trying to figure out, thinking that it's going to be the same as the B58. Far from it.
Similar but not.
Same, but different.
In what sense? Because I know I asked you the differences back then, but what have you learned in terms of differences between the S58 and the B58?
I've learned that the S58 can go fast on a stock motor.
And we've learned that it's also weaker than a B58.
We already knew that. It is weaker, but torque control for a very short period of time at a very high horsepower level, and you go fast.
Right now, the B58 is technically faster still.
Correct.
Yes.
As faster.
188 mile an hour, I think, is the record right now.
Right. And then as
far
as...
But it's on a whole standalone everything. It's not a stock ECU car.
No, it's not stock ECU.
Yeah, not stock
it's
ECU.
It's Motec and Turbolamic.
Okay. I'm not the fastest stock ECU car. Justin is right now, right? He went 187?
I think so.
Yeah, Justin went 187.
So it's been probably, I want to say, about 5 years since I got my Supra. So when I got mine, 2020... there wasn't much out yet, right? So now, what is the standard go-to if you want to make some power with the Supra? I
think ours still stands 6870.
The best setup for the car is still a 6870. However, a little different. Next-gen 6870.
Yeah.
Next-gen. How much more power is the next-gen making?
It just spools so much faster.
It spools faster than a regular... First of all, 68 is still incredible.
Okay.
The next-gen... we were actually here.
Yep.
Before Precision marketed the next gen 6870,
they contacted us.
Precision came here with the turbo, did a pull on a 68 on gen these 2. Dyno, and then same day, same hour, put the next gen on at this on the same map, no tuning. I wasn't even allowed to have a laptop near the car.
Mm-hmm.
So it picked up 300 or 400 RPM a spool. I think it was 300 RPM a spool.
And like 75 horsepower.
75 horsepower and 85 torque.
Damn.
And I'm like, wow. And now now we have cars making 1,100 horsepower on little 68 millimeter turbos.
68, 70 next gen that went sevens.
Yep.
Went sevens on a literally small full frame turbo.
Now it seems like you guys are used to making this high horsepower on this platform. And I know in the beginning there was issues with the heads lifting and so on.
Yep.
So right now, what are the methods to keep the head down and how are you keeping that power?
I think what's helping is the fact that most of these Supras now are six port and not two ports.
Yeah.
That's also helps a lot.
You alleviate a lot of back pressure. But,
back pressure, less EGTs.
There's different levels to keeping a head down, right? Okay. So first it was just Visconti's fancy firing gasket, is that what you would call it?
Yeah,
Then the next step would be actually machining, like we were talking about with the fire lock. With the receiver grooves. And now what we're doing, I mean, everybody knows, it's not a secret anymore, obviously. So what we're doing in my motors is we're doing inserts and we're torquing the heads to 160 foot-pounds instead of 105 foot-pounds.
But they're on a bigger stud, not a standard size stud.
You said
stud.
How much?
160
foot-pounds. You said inserts?
Inserts.
What is
it? I actually
like
don't
a time,
know.
It's kind of like a time cert.
Yeah.
So you're not using the factory threads no more of the block. So there's not enough meat in there for it to bite. So you put a steel insert into that bites into the block, but it has its own threads. So you really can't really pull.
I don't know. Was that? Was
I never even knew that was
proprietary.
A thing.
Or
it is proprietary.
It is okay. That's what I thought. I wasn't 100% positive.
So you said it's not a secret anymore
that people are running bigger studs.
Okay.
Well, that we were using inserts.
Yeah.
People know we're using inserts. They just, I don't think anyone else is using them yet, but I'm sure it's coming because when the cars start to make 1,800, 1,900 wheel horsepower, it's going to be needed.
So how long? So you know how this goes. Platform comes out, people break records, you go fast with it, things start happening. And then once somebody figures it out, it's up to them. They want to tell people or they don't, right? So up until how long ago was that like a thing where everybody started figuring out what you have to do to keep the
heads down?
I think
it just happened a few months ago.
We're not secret.
Yeah, we don't hide anything.
No, we tell everybody everything.
You gotta be honest. You know how the BMW community is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gatekeeping.
Some people gatekeep a lot.
Right? So there's a lot of people doing certain things. You don't even know about it. People are saying certain things.
I was gatekept from my own car. I didn't even know there was inserts in it until months later. I'm just like, how the hell do you torque this to 160 foot-pounds without breaking anything?
That's you said 160. That's kind of...
Yeah.
Your arms are shaking trying to torque it down.
Lee had me torque down one of the studs on the RB, and it was like 120. 100? There were 100. I think it was 120 or 110 or something like that.
110 is where the arms start to shake a little
bit. Yeah, it was tough. So 160, that must be insane, dude.
That's that bean built power.
Yeah, bean built power right there.
Shout out to Brian.
So aside from that, is there anything else that you guys have learned or figured out? Because it seems like you're obviously it's more 1,000 horsepower B58s now, so it's more common.
It is very common now. It's almost like a daily thing.
Yeah.
From a tuning standpoint on the B58, everything's still probably the same as the last time you and I talked.
Yeah.
The hard parts are making the engines last longer.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
And we've actually kind of figured that out too, how to make them live longer, because we figured that out in Wisconsin.
S58, same thing, figured out. However, I made a mistake with tennis ball, I think, when it crashed. We were looking. So when tennis ball crashed, there was a problem that we thought was maybe transmission, but we couldn't really tell.
Okay.
The transmission sounded like it slipped the full pass.
It sounded like it was a CVT. It just stayed
correct.
In high RPM, but it
the
was going through all
never
the gears.
Locked. The converter never locked up. So we were trying to think outside the box and tackle some tables that we weren't very familiar with, and there's really no explanations, and there's nobody to ask, right? There's
we're the only ones doing this. You can ask somebody else.
Unfortunately, we found out too late that it was just a converter lockup issue, and now we could fix that with your boys tuning, right? And,
yep.
and Mike Ball from England as well, he could fix that issue with trans tuning. You know, there's a few people, select few, that could actually get that done. But we found out too late. So we were messing with some limiters, flashed the car maybe 3 or 4 times that day. And it was getting progressively faster, 7.9, 7.85, 7.8. And then the car went 7.8.
7.81 and then 7.80. We're already here. We already had beat our record.
So we turned it up, yeah. right? But we didn't touch anything that I hadn't touched prior. It was early in the day where we were messing around with all these new limiters that I found that I thought may be able to fix the...
Yeah, we're both like reading, trying to dissect what these definitions meant. Because it doesn't tell you like, oh, torque table. It doesn't really tell you what it is, or torque converter. It doesn't tell you.
Some do, some
don't. It's small little acronyms, and a lot of the stuff is in German.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to figure out, what does this word kind of sound like? Does this sound like it would be... Well, I don't know. Let's see what Google says.
And yeah.
So what's wild is at 55 pounds of boost, the car was fine. On the last pass, we turned it up to 58 pounds of boost.
Okay.
That's when it freaked out, wouldn't close the throttle, just kept going, and inevitably ended up 2 miles from the starting line on its roof.
Yeah, so wild ride.
So thank God you're still here, bro. Thank God you made it out okay. That was a pretty intense situation. And the video doesn't really show too well, like...
You can. It doesn't show it because somebody didn't really record the full thing. But
wait, who are you looking at?
AJ. He was the videographer.
He thought one of his best friends just died.
But he didn't record the whole thing. He was recording and then just walked away from the video. But you can actually hear it in the audio, though. Like, you could hear like me slamming on the brakes, trying to lug the motor down, trying to shut it off. You could hear the engine turn off and on various times.
That's the scary part, is in the log and in the video. Does that video? That video, yeah, does exist.
I have it, yeah.
You could hear him turn the car off, and then it fire. I don't know if it's momentum of the engine or
maybe like a diesel effect.
It fires back up. He puts it in neutral. It stays in neutral for a half second, second, and then goes back into gear.
And you can see the whole log go neutral gear. You can see it turn off, turn back on, everything.
So when you got to the end of the track, you obviously let off, right?
Yeah.
And then
let off, hit the brake like normal, ease into the brake because you're not going to stomp on the brake. The brake. And I just realized that when I let off the gas, car is still accelerating. So I'm like literally hold on dear life onto the steering wheel and both feet on the brakes. And all of a sudden I just felt my foot just go all the way to the floor. It's because the rotors literally just exploded. So the calipers pads were just touching each other. So all the brake pressure just left.
So did your stomach drop in that moment?
It happened like so fast, man. It was just, all I saw was just trees, and it was small bushes or big trees. So I went, let me go to the small bushes. But when I did that, it went over some of the tree trunks, and it punctured both tires on the driver's side. And that's when the car literally just started turning and flipping.
So there was a bit of controversy with that, too. And people were, with the brakes and also
parachute. The cage. People were talking about parachute, cage. Yeah.
So I know you had mentioned on Instagram that if there was a cage in the car, that it could have potentially
made it near impossible to get out because the car fell in a ditch. Right. So the car was in the middle of the ditch, so I couldn't open none of the doors. So
it would have been the one in a million time where a cage probably wouldn't help because, like I said, it was in a ditch. So yeah, the only way out.
And the car was on fire.
Yeah.
And the car was on fire, but too, right?
Also, what a lot of... people use that as a conversation piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miller just went 762, no chute,
full interior,
no cage. Not one person has said anything because the car didn't crash. If the car crashed, it would have been another, just for somebody that doesn't have anything to talk about to jump on and be like, that idiot didn't have a cage. None of these V10 cars going,
none of the R8s and Lambos have cages.
So
they just have parachutes on.
All of our cars have cages. Right behind us, this car has a cage. Yeah. All of our cars have cages. That car was supposed to be hit a 7.9 and enjoy it on the street. But when we got to 7.9, we're just like, this isn't good enough. But it's still my street car, and I want to enjoy it on the street.
7.98 wasn't good enough. We got to go a little bit faster.
Let's go back.
Sevens is crazy.
Let's go back one more time. So we went back one more time, and I'm just like, this is it. We're going to go a 7.8,
yeah,
and this is going to be my beautiful, perfect street car.
And of course,
We went 7.8. What do we do? 7.80.
The first time was 7.98, and then we went 7.89.
Yeah, because now Jordan went faster. So now
then
he
went 7.85, and then that's when we're like, yo, we got to go back out.
We knew the car had a 7.75 in it, and at that time, Supras weren't even going that fast. So it's like we're taking this four-door brick, and we're going faster than Supras that have been being developed over the last 6 years. This is impressive. This is what I want, because then I want to put it on the street. It was registered, insured, and I just want to drive it every day. This is a sick car.
And the car was not really gutted. All we did was just take out the passenger seat.
Yeah, no cuts or anything.
It just took out passenger seat. That was it. It had all the trunk mats in it. It still had everything in it.
Didn't have wipers.
Well, that's...
Or braces. Just put it this way. Let's put this in easy terms. The car weighed 3,705 pounds with Jazz in it, and 3,775 with big boy in it. So the car was still
a heavy car.
It was a heavy car. So anyways, we wanted to go 7-7. So anyways, we went back out one more time, and we were really trying to find that last tent that I knew existed. We found it, but that was the demise of the car.
So what was the issue with the brakes that you had?
Nothing. You're just trying to stop a car that's accelerating. You're never going to stop it. So they're obviously going to be glowing red. There's a melting point, and they just shattered.
But you were trying. You had different different brake setup on that car, no?
Yeah, obviously. We ran 17s all square on the car, 28 inch tall. So we had to run a smaller brake. So also rotating mass. Rotating mass is big way to save weight on a car. It's not the same as removing static weight. 10 pounds of rotational mass is not the same as 10 pound.
Right.
So that's one of the first things we always do on all of our cars is just smaller brakes.
Smaller brakes.
That's the biggest weight savings. It's like 180 pounds and 80 of it is rotational. So it's huge. If you want to go, if everyone's locked at a 10-0 on any car in any platform, anyone's locked at 10-0, just put a brake kit on front and rear. You'll be faster.
And it stops fantastic other than my situation, but that's irrelevant.
So now you have the Supra record. Or you're tied for it, right?
Tied
for it. Only stock ECU car to go that fast.
So what is the next push for that car? Because it seems like, you know, obviously you had it out at TX2K, right?
I had it at TX2K to try a different setup. So I wanted to go like way outside of my comfort zone with like a massive turbo and try to go fast. But we knew that it was only testing and tuning. We weren't going to make anything happen in Texas. There was just no way. Right now... It's actually, the project's not on hold. It's progressing. There's some things being done with the car right now.
New updates.
New updates. So I think we're going to pick up the car this week.
Yep.
Try some things. Not lighting the world on fire at all. Just getting the car to work. And then come fall, I think we're going to go crazy with it. Just one more time.
At World Cup.
One more time. No, private testing.
Yeah, testing soon.
Is it? But are you going to take it to World Cup? Did you go to World Cup last year with it?
No, not last year.
Yeah, that's right. 2 years ago.
Correct.
Why wasn't it at World Cup last year?
Why wasn't it at World Cup last year?
I really don't remember.
It had a motor in it.
I just remember why. But.
Oh, we were traveling. I guess.
Obviously, that's like the best place to go and probably break records because the weather.
The weather is beautiful, yeah.
The Monday is the best. I wouldn't say at the event, but the Monday after World Cup would be the best. Because they do a
testing.
So it'll come back out. There's a few other things I'm working on right now.
Okay. And then now, Jazz, you have the record for the 340.
Correct.
Right? And what does this car make? What is it?
What's the setup? We made 1253. It's a basic mode, like really basic. It's just piston rod. With a standard size head stud and cams.
Basic.
It's nothing crazy. It doesn't have a receiver groove or anything. It's a standard head gasket. It literally is very basic. Just big turbo, lots of fuel, and a big transmission behind it.
But for the record, I don't know how that car hasn't lifted a head.
I added nitrous too, and I was doing nitrous every single pass.
Nitrous hits
pass.
Like crazy on the dyno and at the track, and it's just like you squeeze the coolant hose and just like
it's like no coolant pressure, so we're like, we're good to go, let's do another pass.
What? So we were at the track at OSW.
Correct.
You had broke the record, and honestly, you were talking about AJ not filming. I didn't record.
Yeah,
I was supposed
to. So do I have the record since it wasn't recorded?
Yeah.
No, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. So there's a big thing with the BMW people, and it's only BMW guys, it seems like, where it's like if a record's broken and there's no video or
it's not a record.
Time slip, it's not a record technically. Everyone's always in the comments saying, oh, where's the video? We haven't seen a video. But if you have a time slip, technically, it counts, right?
Yeah.
So why is the BMW community so hung up on this whole video? Or if a record's broken, they want to see proof.
I'll let Mikey talk about that.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, it could be argued from both sides.
They're just stubborn. Back in the forum days, nobody really had videos.
The thing is everybody...
upload a picture and that was it. Bro,
everybody has something to say and everybody wants to join in the bashing and the conversation. It's something to do on a Monday or Tuesday night on Instagram if you have nothing going on, right?
Right.
If I'm going to break a record, I'm going to do what I've always done. I personally am going to take a video, get a slip... do a nice write-up with the sponsors, make a whole big thing out of it, right? That's what I do. But that's just me. Anybody could do whatever the hell they want.
It's just rare though nowadays, not gonna lie, to record, like to go to a track and do passes and not have somebody with a cell phone there.
I had you
in our situation. It's different though. But like, it's just rare. It's like everyone's,
wait, so you didn't really go 8-4?
And then it happened, bro. There was no video.
No, I saw it happen. I was there. I did see it. I just, nobody was recording because he went by himself.
But everybody has their different way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And then it's just the opinions in the peanut gallery, which we try. Like when all this drama has been happening for the last 2 weeks,
yeah,
I've just been on my boat fishing. I didn't even know how fast Miller went because we were just fishing, just enjoying life. Work 10, 12, 14 hours a day. When the sun starts going down, fish start biting, go out. And I just stay out of the drama. I used to be in the center of it, and now I'm far removed.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. That's why I remove myself from the drama too. Because I know
people tag me, "Oh, why aren't you sharing? Why aren't you saying it?" I don't care about the drama.
Don't care.
I'm in my lane. I'm having fun on the weekend after work or something. We're slow. I call AJ. Oh, you want to go on the red jet skis? Let's go off roading. Whatever. I don't care about the drama. I'm in my lane. I'm working, doing my own thing.
Well, I'm not even talking about the drama in the past 2 weeks. I'm talking about in general.
No, in general, that's like, how it is too.
It's just like in general, people want to see videos, and it's like, what's the drive to want to find out if it's actually true or not? Like, is it so you have hope for the platform? Like, what's the big deal?
I guess that would be it.
Going back to everybody just has something to say. I think everybody wants to be heard. Everybody. Mm-hmm. If you have a car that's downpipe tuned, right, and you're happy with it, but then all these people are making 2,000 horsepower and going so fast, and you have like this little bit of jealousy, right? And somebody does something that's unbelievable, you're gonna be the first one that jumps in. Oh, that didn't happen. There's no way it happened. It's just opinion. That's
or they're butt hurt because their part wasn't on the vehicle that went that fast too.
Like companies. Interesting. Too many politics, man.
I'm trying not to play them. I can't stand it. I literally
Politics in the car industry is pretty bad.
BMW community is pretty bad.
Yeah, the Subaru community is not.
It used to be bad. It used to be very bad.
It wasn't this bad.
If nobody had an IG motor, oh, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's how it was before.
It wasn't this bad.
It's not like that. I don't think it's like that.
But if you're not tuned by Junior, it's not going to work. Your Subaru's going to blow up. It's like, that's how it was back then. Now it's like it died off.
God tuned a Subaru back then. Yeah, we all true. Blew the cars up. It wasn't our fault.
It's a maintenance item to replace the motors in them. It's a maintenance item.
Nah, it's cool. We're short on time.
Shit, I could have kept going for a while, but we got to catch a flight. We're really short on time.
100%.
Either way, Subarus are the greatest cars alive. Just putting it out there.
Bring them back.
We didn't even get to touch up on the subject how Mikey got his stolen at gunpoint, neither.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. We kind of talked about that last night. Yeah. But
he got Newark at gunpoint.
He didn't pull the trigger. That's all that counts. I'm still here.
Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah. He was telling me the story last night. But yeah, I appreciate your time again. Jazz, my neighbor. Of course, I'm going to see you. Tomorrow. But if you can let the viewers and listeners know where to find you guys on Instagram, social media.
Yeah, Mikey's Instagram, STI Mikey. Mine's Boosted_Jazz. We both have a YouTube channel, STI Mikey. Mm-hmm. Or Mikey Tuned, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mikey Tuned.
The YouTube is Mikey Tuned. So we always post all of our
content
records, content, this and that on there. So that's where they can find us on Instagram and YouTube.
And then what if they want to find out about tuning?
I think email.
DM or email.
DM or email.
Yep. Email Mikey84body@gmail.com.
We're super old school. We don't even do a website. I tried a website twice. I'm just like, yeah, no.
It's better to interact with the person rather than them hit click buy and then you don't even have any info of the person. Right.
Well, on paper, it's better that your website interacts with 100 people at a time, but I'd rather just talk to one person at a time.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, cool. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for making this happen. If you guys are interested in working with Mikey and Jazz, you guys know where to reach them. If you guys are watching the live stream right now or the premiere, make sure you hit that like button. Also, make sure you head over to streetalpha.co to purchase some merch. And yeah, catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Thank you, guys.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.